Well, welcome, and thanks for being part of the service, the message today. Hey, we are working on a series right now called God's Word is the Foundation of Everything. And this is part two in our series. And today specifically, we're going to look at the fact that God's Word is the foundation of authority. So let's get right into the message here. Our key verse for the series, Luke chapter 6, 46 to 49. And Jesus is talking here to his followers, and he says in verse 46, "So why do you keep calling me Lord, Lord, when you don't do what I say? I will show you what it's like when someone comes to me, listens to my teaching, and then follows it. It is like a person building a house who digs deep and lays the foundation on solid rock. When the floodwaters rise and break against that house, it stands firm because it is well built. But anyone who hears and doesn't obey is like a person who builds a house right on the ground without a foundation. When the floods sweep down against that house, it will collapse into a heap of ruins." God's Word truly is the foundation for everything. And it can be our foundation for life and for eternity if we believe it and do what it says. So today, very specifically, just we're going to get right into it. God's Word is the foundation of authority. Now, when I say that, I have a couple points I want to make concerning that. And the first one is this. God's Word, I believe, is the foundation for all of authority because it was the first authority. And obviously, in matters of law and when they're doing things, they always go back in time and they say, well, here's how it was. This was a precedence for what we're looking at now. So if you continue to go far enough back, you're going to get to the first authority. You're going to get to the beginning. And Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1 very clearly talks about the authority of the Word of God. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 says, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved on the face of the water. And God said, let there be light. And there was light." So as you continue to read through, you'll see that again and again, God said, when he spoke, then it happened. It was the original, the beginning authority. Now, interesting, when you look at this verse, it tells us in verse 1 that the Spirit of God was moving, hovering. The Spirit of God was there, moving and hovering, and yet nothing happened until the Word was spoken. The Word of God, that authority. And as a little side note, hey, you truly want to see transformation, you want to see change, it takes the Word of God being spoken and acted on. There's nothing greater if you're a believer than being a part of a service where the Spirit of God is moving. It's wonderful. But people can go to that service and leave exactly the same if the Word of God is not spoken, received, and acted on. But that's a completely different message. We're talking about God's Word being the first authority. In John chapter 1 and 1 to 3, we read, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Verse 14 says that the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. Jesus was the Word in the beginning. He was the one, the beginning, the first authoritative Word, that when it was spoken, what it was said had to happen. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 1, reading from the New Living Translation, it says, "We proclaim to you the one who existed from the beginning, whom we have heard and seen. We saw him with our own eyes and touched him with our own hands. He is the Word of life. This one who is life itself was revealed to us, and we have seen him, and now we testify and proclaim to you that he is the one who is eternal life. He was with the Father, and then he was revealed to us." You see, so Jesus was there from the beginning, the word of life, the initial, the first authority. John 17, 5 to 8, Jesus himself says he was with God in the beginning, the first. Verse 5 says, "Now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself with the glory which I had with you before the world was. I've manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you, and I have given to them the words which you have given me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me." Now that portion of scripture talks a lot about the word and the importance of the word being put out by Christ and the word being received by those who followed. But Christ himself says he was there in the beginning. He is the word manifest. The word of God was the initial authority for everything. The second point I want to make with this, the fact that God's word truly is the foundation of all authority, is the fact that God's word is much higher than man's or any other being. Isaiah 55, verse 7 to 11 says this, "Let the wicked change their ways and banish the very thought of doing wrong. Let them turn to the Lord that he may have mercy on them. Yes, turn to our God, for he will forgive generously. My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. The rain and snow come down from the heavens and stay on the ground to water the earth. They cause the grain to grow, producing seed to the farmer and bread for the hungry. It is the same with my word. I send it out, and it always produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to, and it will prosper everywhere I send it." You see, God's word is much higher. His ways, his thoughts are so far above those of man. There's no comparison with God and with man. In Acts chapter 5 and verse 28 to 29, we read a story about some of the disciples who were taken and put in prison, and then they were told to never talk about Christ ever. But of course, they went and did it again, and the religious authority of the day were very upset. And in verse 8, it said, "We gave you strict orders, never again teach in this man's name. And he said, instead, you have filled all Jerusalem with your teaching about him, and you want to make us responsible for his death." They were talking about Christ. In verse 29, "But Peter and the apostles replied, we must obey God rather than any human authority." You see, the authority of God is much greater. Now, I would never preach for someone to be in rebellion against the authorities God has put in our land. And we have great authorities, and we live in a great country. We have not been told we can't talk about Christ. But in this situation, that's what they were told, and they had to choose which authority to obey. And the point I want to make clear is the authority of God is much higher than the authority of man. You see, God's word rules true. God's word is that authority. You know, when you think about what you've heard and what you've read and you wonder, well, I heard so-and-so say this or someone else has said it this way. What, you know, what is really the truth? You see, God's word is the truth, and God's word is the highest authority. When I started this point, I said his word is higher than man's and any other spiritual being. You know, most would agree that we live in a spiritual world. There's a spiritual realm beyond what we see in the natural. And many people believe and understand that, even those who aren't Christians. But as a Christian, we know that God's word is much higher than any spiritual being, angel, demon, whatever it might be. James 2:19 says, "You say you have faith, For you believe that there is one God. Good for you. Even the demons believe this, and they tremble in terror. You see, they know that there's a God, and they tremble in terror. Truly, God is much higher than any spiritual being. Matthew 8 and verse 16 says, when the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick. Jesus, while he walked this earth, it said that he spoke, and with his words, evil spirits had to obey instantly, because the word of God is much, much higher. Luke chapter 4 and verse 36. It says, the people were amazed and exclaimed, what authority and power this man's words possess. Even evil spirits obey him and they flee at his command. You see, the word of God is the highest authority in the spiritual realm, and it is the highest authority in the physical realm. There is nothing higher. We talk about God's word being the foundation for all authority, and I'm talking about this book, the Bible, his written word, also his spoken word. You see, God's word will also be the final authority. So it's the initial authority. It is higher than man's authority or any spiritual being, and it will be the final authority for all time. Matthew 24 and verse 35 says, heaven and earth will disappear, but my words will never disappear. You see, his word does not grow old or change like everything else around us. His word is eternal. His word is infinite, not finite. See, the words of man and our words and everything we know has a time frame. You know, we start, we finish. We're born, we die. But God's word is eternal. It was there before anything came to be, and it will be there after this world disappears. How much more should we regard it as an authority and something to base our life on? You know, you may read something that says, well, it's different nowadays. And, you know, that was a long time ago. You see, this book doesn't get old. God's word doesn't change because people think they're so smart now and they maybe decide, oh, well, that was the past. We're doing it different now because we know better. Those same people will one day pass away, but this word will not. No matter how many books you read, if they disagree with this book, they are wrong. And one day they will disappear, but this word of God will not. Psalm 102, 25 to 28 said, long ago you have laid the foundation of the earth and made the heavens with your hands. They will perish, but you remain forever. They will wear out like old clothing. You will change them like a garment and discard them. But you are always the same. You will live forever. The children of your people will live in security. The children's children will thrive in your presence. You see, God and his word will live forever. Everything you and I see here will one day disappear. The house you're in will one day get old and disappear. The world we're in will one day get old and disappear, but God's word will remain. 1 Peter 3 and 10 to 14 says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Isaiah 51 says, 51 verse 6 says, lift up your eyes to the heavens and look on the earth beneath, for the heavens will vanish away like smoke. The earth will grow old like a garment, and those who dwell in it will die in like manner. But my salvation will be forever, and my righteousness will not be abolished. What is his salvation? His salvation is the Word of God, Jesus Christ, coming to take away sin, to make a way for us like never before. His righteousness is his commands. It doesn't change. God's Word will remain as the final authority, and we will be judged by the Word. John 12 and verse 48, Jesus says, "He that rejects me and receives not my words has one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." You see, you can choose to ignore this word if you want. You can have a mindset, well, I know better, and you know, people are so smart nowadays, I just don't care. It doesn't matter. The day's coming when this word will judge every human being. Whether you agree or not, it's coming. And isn't it interesting that Jesus likens the fact of receiving not his words is the same as rejecting him? You can say you love him. You can say, oh, I think he's great man. You can say those things, but if you don't receive his words, you've rejected him. 2 Timothy 4, chapter 1 to 4. Here is Paul encouraging Timothy, a young pastor, and he says to him in verse 4, "I solemnly urge you in the presence of God in Christ Jesus, who will someday judge the living and the dead when he comes to set up his kingdom." Talking about Jesus, the Word. He says, "Preach the Word of God, be prepared, whether the time is favorable or not. Patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teaching. For a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. They will reject the truth and chase after myths." I want to say to you today, as a pastor and someone who gives out the word, I want to give out the word and I want to help people. I want to see people live the abundant life that God has given to them and to spend an eternity in a place called heaven. Because you see, I know that we live in an eternal world and people are going to choose today where they'll spend the rest of their eternity after this life. But this scripture clearly says there's a time coming when people won't listen to sound, wholesome teaching, but will just follow their own desires and will look for people to tell them what they want to hear. That day has come for too many people. That day is already here for a number of people who have decided this clear word no longer matters, and they've looked for people to tell them exactly what they want to hear. I have the unfortunate experience of having someone tell me, "I don't want to hear anything you have to say because I have read," and I think they said over 40 books on the subject. They did not want me to say anything. I can tell you, I probably didn't read the 40 books they read, but I have read this book, the Word of God, the Bible. And if it clearly says something, I don't care if you've read over 200 books on something. If they disagree with the Word of God, they are wrong. And they will one day burn. They will one day rot and mold, but the Word of God will remain eternal. I'm going to put my faith in the foundation of this eternal Word, not chase after myths that fulfill the desires of my flesh. You see, God wants you, he wants you and I to follow his word, not because he's mean, not because he wants you to have a terrible life. He wants you to follow this word because he knows that it will cause you to walk in abundance. It will cause you to walk in peace. It will cause you to walk in joy. And he knows that when you stray from it, you will head into destruction, despair, pain, agony, and an eternal separation from him in a place called hell. You see, God's word is the final authority. God's word is the foundation of all authority. God's word is higher, and God's word will be the final authority judging every person. This is my final scripture, Revelation chapter 19 and 11 to 14. It says, "Then I saw heaven opened, and a white horse was standing there. Its rider was named Faithful and True, for he judges fairly and wages a righteous war." You see, John is seeing a vision of something happening in heaven, and he's telling us about it. And in verse 12, he says, "His eyes," this is the rider of the white horse, "his eyes were like flames of fire, and on his head were many crowns. A name was written on him that no one understood except himself. He wore a robe dipped in blood, and his title was the Word of God." Who are we seeing on this white horse? It's Jesus, the Word of God. And verse 14 says, "The armies of heaven, dressed in finest pure white, followed him on white horses. From his mouth came a sharp sword to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron rod. He will release the fierce wrath of God, the Almighty, like juice flowing from a winepress." You see, this picture in this scripture is probably one you're thinking, "Pastor, what are you reading here?" It's not a pretty picture, is it? Here's the picture of the Word of God, Christ Jesus, shown with crowns on his head, riding a white horse, the picture of a powerful soldier in that day. Yet when you see the picture, there's only one thing that seems a little off to you and I as the picture of a soldier. Why is the sword not in his right hand? Why is the sword coming out of his mouth? Because you see, he is the Word of God. The sword coming out of his mouth will be his word, and it will judge the nations. But I have some good news to finish off today, because you see, the same word that is our final authority and will be judged is also called the Word of Life and has the power to bring salvation and freedom to anybody who wants it. Because you see, this word that created and this word that will one day judge also made a way for you and I to stand boldly when we enter that final day of judgment. Because this word, this Jesus, said, "I'm going to pay a price for every human being that if they'll receive it, they'll be able to come and stand before me and it'll be already paid for." What am I talking about? I'm talking about Christ Jesus hanging on a cross, shedding his blood, his body beaten for you and I, taking our place, that when this final day comes and he stands, the Word of God, to judge, he can say, "Did you receive me?" Oh my. If you've asked Christ into your life to come and to make you new, to forgive you of your sin, you are saved. You have paid or accepted the price that was paid. And on that final day of judgment, you can boldly walk up and say, "My name is written in that book of life. I am a Christian. I accepted Christ and his words." And if you've done that, they will look and they'll say, "Yes, you're right. Your name is in this book, the book of life. Enter in to the joy of the Lord, an eternity in his presence in a place called heaven." But the amazing thing is that that price that he paid for you and I, the Word of God dying on a cross for you and I, is available to anybody who wants it. And it can change and transform your life here on earth before you ever enter that place called heaven. Listen, if you've never accepted Christ, I want you to take that opportunity and do it today. If you've never asked him to come into your life and to forgive you of all you've done wrong, why don't you take that opportunity today, wherever you are? It's simple. In Romans 10, it says that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Christ from the dead, you'll be saved. It's that easy. Maybe you don't understand 100% what Christ has done, but you know, hey, if this is real, I want it. Then I want you to repeat this prayer after me today, right where you are, wherever you're listening. Repeat this after me. Say, "Lord Jesus, I believe you died for me. I believe you rose again. And I ask you now, Forgive me of all I've done wrong. Make me new. Cause me to know your word. I receive you, Jesus. I am yours. Amen. If you prayed that today, you have become a Christian. You have accepted and received what Christ did, and you've received his words. You've made sure that on the final day, you'll stand before him forgiven, free, the price already paid. Listen, God wants to do great things in your life. For those of you who have been listening and you're a believer already, God wants you to know his word and to obey it. He wants you to make it your foundation, to stand for it, to preach it, to share it with others. He wants to give you an abundant, transformed life. So today, I want to encourage each and every person to be bold and courageous to follow this word. And I'm going to end in just a couple minutes here with prayer for each and every person. I want to tell you this. God has a great plan for you and I. He is going to do what only he can do, and he wants you to know it and to follow his word. But you're going to need to be strong and courageous. Joshua chapter 1, the Lord tells him, Joshua, be strong and courageous to lead and to do. And then he says, to follow my word. Believer, you're going to need strength and courage to follow this word. Nobody who's a wimp follows God's word. There's no such thing as a Christian who is a sissy. If someone tells you Christians are sissy, you tell them, all right, then you give it a try. I can guarantee you they can't do it. Because pushovers follow the crowd, but bold, courageous people follow the word of God and stand and stick with it. I believe that's you. Let me close right now. Lord, I pray for those people who call themselves believers, for those who may have just received you, that they will have courage and strength like never before to follow you. Make them bold. Lord, cause them to stand brightly in faith, showing love and courage as they live your word. Amen. God bless you so much. Thank you for being a part of this. We'll see you next time.